Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dogs making moves with their schedule. We'll tell you all about it coming up in our dog report. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and glad to have you listening. We are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. More on what's going on with the Bravos down at spring training and more with Freddie Freeman as he was speaking to the media about how he's feeling and the expectations of this offense. And as Mike and I have been discussing today, you know, talking about backing up on some things and slow your roll, Rob Manfred, Mike, the commish, I think realizing some of the stuff that he said or the way that he said it was not appropriate and didn't go over well with a lot of guys in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and he did say in his defense, it was a long day. It's a tough, thankless job being a commissioner, Carl, making $25 million a year. But he did say that after all the interviews they did, a 45-minute interview with ESPN and then a lengthy press conference, that I guess he was getting a little punchy when he started talking about the revered World Series trophy as just a piece of metal. So we'll let you hear what the man had to say. We've got some sound from the commish. But, yeah, he did back some of it up. And we'll explain also. Carl tried yesterday, and you know me, I'm not really good with details, but you explained it. And then there's further details on why they couldn't go after certain players because of that blanket immunity they gave the Astros.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of details in these contracts when you talk about CBAs. But the easiest way is, before I punish you, I have to lay out what the consequences are for certain acts. And with baseball and this cheating scandal, they had never laid out the punishment to the players if this was going to happen. So when Manfred in the front office, Mike, or the commissioner's office was sending these memos out to baseball teams saying, hey, we know there are some teams out there doing some stuff illegally. You guys need to communicate this to your team. Teams did that. In the Astros situation, the GM never communicated that. He did to the manager, but then it never went any further. And so that's where baseball's in this quandary of, okay, we told these guys, but the message wasn't communicated. And more importantly, right, we can't punish you under the CBA if you don't know what the punishment is. And the example I brought up yesterday was, performance-enhancing drugs. You use performance-enhancing drugs, you get suspended X amount of games. That's already in the CBA, and now you know what the punishment is. They didn't have that for this situation. So his hands are tied. And right, as mad as we all are about it, I still think now, Mike, you've got to go back and revisit this because you've got some guys in the league who are on your side.
Now, it is interesting because we said and we explained it earlier, especially for guys who say, you know, like, well, the NBA, they've got a pretty tight ship right there. Yeah, they do. And the NFL, you could argue, of the major sports, they've probably got, to be honest with you, the least and loosely, I would say loose-knit feelings amongst the rank and file about, some guys can't stand Maurice Smith. A lot of guys like Randy right. will tell you that he sold the guys out and they made a bad deal in 2011 just for some simple stuff like canceling two-a-days. And that's why I always joke around about how in the next NFL negotiation, the weed thing could actually become a major factor. But they'll never get close to 50-50 split of the money that they're making. But getting back to baseball, point I'm making is baseball's got the strongest union. But this is the first time you've actually seen other players, because they're so ticked off because this was so egregious. And the way the Astros handle themselves, you know, you got guys, and everyone said it, Carl, it's, you know, you're messing with guys' money. Guys have bonuses that they have to hit. Guys have incentives in some cases. In most cases in baseball, it's simply guaranteed. But your rep is on the line. When you're getting lit up like a pinball machine because the guys know what's coming as a pitcher, for instance, that's not cool.
It's not. And guys, we said this. It's hard to imagine without a correction to the punishment that this doesn't go away. Because, again, now, you know, what has happened is you have a bunch of players who say the commissioner is not on our side. You're allowing these guys to continue to get away with this. You allowed them to get away with it. Now, Mike, we know for 3 years potentially, 17, 18, and they didn't even really acknowledge 17, and then obviously what happened last year.
Wow. This team is going to be one that I think down the road, whether you feel that Hank Aaron is the home run king or Barry Bonds is the home run king, this 17 thing is going to be up in the air. I think the commish, and I don't know if we joked around earlier about splitting the baby, maybe like King Solomon, you know what you do? You go, so, all right, we can't really go after the players, but now you're not, you're going to forfeit your World Series shares. No, players union will pop that too. Can't, you really can't mess with the union and the money. All you can do is say there is no World Series champion for 17. Is that going to placate the players that are upset? No.
No, it's not.
They want to see these. If you won't let me bean these guys, you need to suspend these guys. That's what baseball players around the league are all saying right now, in addition to like guys like Nick Markakis.
So I'm glad you brought that up because here's the other side of this. And you got to put yourself in the shoes of baseball guys now around the league who are getting ready for the upcoming season. How is the commissioner? You don't punish the guys who cheated, but you want to punish the guys who want to make them pay. That's a problem. So pick a pitcher. Folty. Folty plays the Astros, and this is hypothetical, but this won't happen to the end of the season. Folty wants retribution because the commissioner didn't punish them. He hits Altuve. The commissioner's office then is going to punish Folty? That's what players are having a problem right. with. You can't not punish these guys, but yet you want to punish us for getting back at them in the only way that we know how to. So it's a mess. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, people were saying, you know, Rob Manfred, and I said it yesterday, the way that he came off and being so out of touch, he should probably be fired. It's not going to happen. Baseball's not going to fire Rob Manfred. Ratings are up. TV numbers are up. They got a new TV contract, Mike, they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he's done a good job for the owners and the game itself. He just mismanaged this situation. Going forward, I guarantee you, there will be language in the new CBA about future things like this. You cheat, here's the punishment,
right.
because players won't have an
and
out.
And in the words of that South African emissary in Lethal Weapon 2, there will be more diplomatic
community. Yes, there will be.
It's just been revoked.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. Hey, let's talk some dogs.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, brightboxelectrical.com. You want that man cave, you want home security, home monitoring. How about a backup generator? Because, man, we've had some strange weather the last few months. Make sure you never lose the juice. Call the guys or go online right now to brightboxelectrical.com.
Big shout out to Chris, who put out a picture and said he listens all day on radio.com on the app. Hey, man, go check it out. He did complain, though. They've changed the John and Hugh picture to just John, which is weird.
Uh-oh.
On the radio.com app. And Hugh
that's
responds.
That's not good. Is Hugh's Asian aware of this?
Hugh responds to Chris Smith, and he just says, weird. So, by the way, you can always listen to this show on the road at radio.com and use the rewind feature.
Our boss is the guy who makes up these decisions, and we don't know why. But, like, why do you and I look like pit bosses in an Atlantic City casino? You and I wear a suit for a funeral. That's all. Basic, I got a court appearance and a church suit. That can't we just be in polos or something? We look like jabronis. We look literally like, all right, give them a marker for five and that's it.
I think I'm worth more than that. But, hey, we've talked about this for, like, 2 years. We can take more pictures. I don't care.
I'll tell you this.
I've seen other guys
right.
around the country posing with objects and things, and you go, it's so corny.
Yeah, it was like I'm somebody holding a football.
Yeah, I'm like, that's corny, too. So, I know.
Man. Well, hey, the dog report, and there's some good news now. I think this is great news for dog fans. I think, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you're coming off winning a natty. Or at least getting back to that Final Four. When you're one of those teams, Carl, to be the man, you got to beat the man. You take on all comers. Georgia-Clemson is one of the great rivalries. It's not a bigger rivalry because they don't play as often as they should. But when they do, it's electric. And now we're going to see it sooner.
I'm sorry. I got to regress here. Well, you want us just like chill in our underwear and like and above it says guys like you? I mean, I don't know what do you want to do for these pitchers? Because I'm thinking in my head now, like, what will we do?
No, just a T-shirt, huh? Like we're just like we are. You usually
have a TV on, you know, sitting around, bellies out, yeah, guys like you,
hands down my sweats. That's what when you see our picture in your car radio, that's what it should look like. Not looking like two casino hosts.
All right, now I will say this: we could be holding a Hey Man L.
Hey,
could be
now we're
that.
Cooking with gas.
All right. I'm sorry. But where were you?
All I'm saying is I'm glad that Georgia's playing Clemson. I don't like that it's not at Mercedes-Benz, but I guess sooner or later you got to get closer to their place. Although it's actually probably the same distance. Going to be at Bank of America in 2021.
Yeah, I just like the fact that these games, this has kind of become the norm, right? And so you look at Georgia's schedule moving forward. Think about this. They've made a big effort, okay, to increase its strength of schedule in future years. You've got Georgia, Virginia 2020. That's this upcoming season. Now you've got Georgia-Clemson 2021, neutral site. Mm-hmm. You've got Georgia-Oregon in 2022, Mike.
And that Oregon team's getting better and better.
And this is how. And then you got home-and-home series with Oklahoma, UCLA, Florida State, Texas. Now, again, this is mid-20, you know, 2025, 2028.
Right.
But the point is they've done a good job to say, hey, we're going to play these games to start the season to get this thing kicked off. I think it's great for both teams. And, again, if Clemson is who we think they are, and I do, I think it's a great program right now, play it.
But for dog fans out there, I mean, and anybody, you know, you went to the University of Texas. I've been to Austin the last 2 years for the Formula One Grand Prix. Austin, Texas is a fantastic town for football fans to make a road trip. That's down the road. Tallahassee is one of the quintessential college towns with a great bar and restaurant scene. Just get your hotels booked. But there's some really cool spots for, you know, Georgia to go. In addition, obviously, hopefully, Texas is a national power and Florida State gets back there, although I wouldn't bet on either one the way their coaches look right now.
You're right. But that's the thing you don't know. It's funny because you look at this and you go, all right, let's just look out in the future. 2027, they're playing Florida State. Who's the coach? Like, where is the program at that point? It's not that. You know what it is? It's these brands. These brands have established themselves in such a way, Mike, that they're going to be around. We think they'll be good. We don't know what the situation is going to be. In 2027, is Kirby still at Georgia? Seriously.
Well, if all's going well, he sure.
Right? You would think that he'll be there for as long as he wants if he wins a championship.
If they take a page out of Alabama, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe you get a Kirby statue. You have to put Vince up there, too. But, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the team itself this year, and we said it earlier, I think we've established this, you know, as soon as we found out they were going to go with Todd Monken, they were going to get the recruiting class they did, which you kind of expected, and then Jamie Newman. Is it cool now to say we expect nothing less than an SEC championship this year? No gap year, right?
No gap. No, you can't. If you're
with all the
fan,
pieces you've got on both sides of the ball, you cannot.
Well, here was my thing, Mike. Remember, I think they lost nine guys. I want to say it was nine with all the offensive linemen from, obviously, D. Swift. And I was concerned about that. But you can't. I don't think a dog fan can look themselves in the mirror and go, yeah, well, you know, if we win eight games this year, I'm okay with it. No way.
Right.
No way. You got to win the East again, and you got to get back for an opportunity to play in the SEC championship game. And I've been saying this, as much as we clown Alabama, they're not going anywhere. Alabama, you saw this, guys. They had the number two recruiting class in the country again. And they could have been number one if one kid decided to go there based on these rating systems. So,
hey,
they're not going anywhere.
Speaking of where kids want to go, Squidbilly's got it in our notes today, the one-time transfer rule could be passed by April. The NCAA announced yesterday Division I transfer working group is going to consider granting all student-athletes, again, all sports across the board, a one-time waiver to transfer without penalty. And it could be approved if the change could come into effect in time for this next 2020-21 academic year, so beginning this end of summer into the fall, because the ACC and Big Ten are on board. I would imagine that some. Now, does the SEC want to play ball with this or not? You're still getting all the big dogs, and now you're just getting more. More guys want to transfer to your schools. I mean, I don't know. How do you think the SEC, and why should their opinions be any different on this?
I don't think it should. I think all these school presidents, commissioners, conference commissioners, they all are on the same page. Listen, the world's changing. It just is. Either you're on board or retire, okay?
Right. I mean, the ACC is about as conservative as they get, and they're on board with the one-time transfer.
Everybody should be on board with this. One time, you get a one shot, one chance to move on and have no consequences. I don't understand why any conference would be necessarily against this. We're not saying as a young man or lady, you get a full ride, Mike, you get to switch schools 3 years in a row and have no consequences.
But, I mean, if you get a coach that comes in and changes, you know, we see the coaches change all the time. The Mel Tucker thing, I've talked about it. I mean, yeah, the circumstances change from the time the kids were recruited, but then the kid gets a chance to go. And then, of course, if a coach moves on or the things change, or, you know, like sometimes there's a kid where, you know, some guys you want to compete. We always joke around, why would somebody go play running back at Alabama or Georgia when there's four guys ahead of you? And sometimes the competition doesn't work and you can go. You know, I don't think he carries that stigma of he couldn't cut the mustard. No, he's trying to get to the NFL, and he might get there through another school. So without having to go to Jerkwater State, you know, he can stay in a big boy conference.
Man, I'm going to tell you again, I won money on Jerkwater State, okay, last year. You need to lay off them.
No, because I was watching
big winners.
I was watching Rambo the other night. It was on.
Which one?
The only one I watched, the first one, with Richard Crenna. It's like, Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Killed in Jerkwater, USA for vagrancy. So that's why I've invoked Jerkwater State twice on this show today. It's floating around up there in the front of my noggin.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Our dog report, as always, brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Go get that man cave you've always wanted. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, an update on Ryan Newman. And what's Freddie Freeman saying about his health and this offense? Find out next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Yeah.
It is Dukes and Bell. Bo, didn't you tell me Killer Mike and they're going on tour? Isn't that right? Rage Against the Machine? Yeah, we were talking about that. It's one of their songs, by the way. Mike and I were just watching a video. And a great job. What's our video guy's name? What's the nickname you gave him?
That's Cough Drop. Because our
so bad. Because the boss mispronounced his name?
Well, the big boss, Rick. I mean, the boss of bosses. Capo Tutti Capi is the guy that's called him. I don't even know Cough's real name. He's Cough Drop to me now.
Cough Drop.
But now we just call him Cough Drop because he's a great guy, great energy. Not that I don't know about you guys in your office, or whatever you do for a living. You know, whether you're in an office or outdoors.
Don't say anything bad about anybody.
No. I'm saying I love people who show up and they got great energy.
Yes.
And this kid shows up every day.
He's
got a smile on his face.
Yes, he does.
He's in a great mood. That's why he got lunch today, because he's a hardworking kid. But we call him Cough Drop, and he's the guy who does all the videos. So he passes that along to Knox, and next thing you know, they got a promo of you and I look like an absolute mental patient.
Well, yesterday. Oh, he did it all.
I said, Knox had nothing to do with this, and Cough Drop, on his own initiative, produces fantastic video of him yet.
I like this kid even more. You know what?
I predict big things for this kid in the organization.
Big things are coming for you. No, we were talking yesterday, it's out there at Dukes and Bell 929. You can go check it out. We'll repost it as well. But we were talking about the Falcons, and we've been doing this grouping, this list of positions.
Yeah, Bo's giving us every group, and we're going through them. Who stays, who goes, and we got to the defensive line yesterday.
So you can go check it out. I mean, we're not going to recap it, but, you know, sometimes we do stuff on this show, and you go, it's really funny.
So I dubbed the Legion of Boom. No, we are Legion of Meh.
Yeah.
About all the guys you've been hearing these same names over the years, and we were just kind of, once you start hearing these same names, and I think I speak, and you and I speak, Carl, for a lot of Falcon fans, we started going, get another guy. Get somebody else. And we've seen what these guys can do, and quarterback doesn't get on the ground, and we don't stop the run.
That's the thing. It's Groundhog Day. It's the same thing.
Right.
It seems like it's the same thing over and over. All right, man. Let's fast forward and start talking a little bit more about what's going on with Freddie Freeman, because yesterday we didn't get a chance to really discuss Freddie, his health, and what's been going on. More on Atlanta United and what happened last night as well in CONCACAF coming up as part of our big story about an hour from now, so stay right there. But Mike, Freddie Freeman, and we've talked about this. Last year I remember asking you time and time again, because you know I love Acuna. Acuna for life! And I'd say, Acuna, and you say, he's still not the best hitter. It's Freeman. And then Donaldson came on, and I was like, Freeman and Donaldson? And he'd say, yeah, it's Freeman. Freeman is the most consistent hitter on this team. But the problem was last year when we needed him most, he was injured. We got to the playoffs,
right,
and he couldn't deliver. So now he's gone through surgery. He feels a lot better. And for the first time, we're getting a chance to hear Freddie talk about, you know, this pain. Can we hear Freddie talk about this elbow pain and after the surgery?
It feels great. I had some pain. I did. It was a little worse than I thought it was going into the surgery, but it is completely cleaned out now. I feel good. No pain hit in the offseason for the first time in about 7-8 years. So that was a relief. I hit. I played golf. I did a lot of things and woke up with no pain. I'm ready to go.
That's awesome, because we need him. With the loss of Donaldson, you still need Freddie to be as consistent as he's been.
And, you know, a guy like that's not going to sit there. You know, look, there are guys in pro sports who will go, yeah, I'm not right, man. I'm just not right. What do you mean? Well, you know. Well, you had an injury, and they'll keep it all cryptic, and then play. The media starts guessing. And Freddie's not – you're watching Freddie. As I said, there was a play at first base on the ground, or I think it was either the Nats or the Phillies game in September, and he just goes down awkwardly, doesn't look like, you know, things are right. And then you said it. He just kind of wound down after having a great run through by the earlier part of the year. And then he goes 4-for-20. As we said, 3, 4, and 5 were just a black hole for the Braves in the NLDS. But you saw the numbers drop. You saw the average drop. I mean, usually he's always a 300 hitter. So, yeah, that's something that is great to hear, because you're going to need him to be able to rock and roll at full clip along with Ozuna to get back and get up, you know, some of that, cover some of that production missing with Donaldson.
So, Freddie Freeman, here's Freddie talking about this offense. And, you know, right now we're all speculating as to, first of all, can it be as productive as it was last year? If we are as good as we were last year, guys, we're going to be in the playoff hunt. It's that simple. You can't score as many runs, win as many one-run games as we did last year and put up the numbers we did and not be in contention. We still have the question marks about this bullpen, but I feel a lot better about the bullpen now than I did at the start of the season last year. Here's Freddie talking about the offense and his expectations.
Everyone kind of knows where they're going to be already going into it. We got a great lineup, deep lineup. I think we're going to score a lot of runs again.
So he feels comfortable. I mean, listen, you can't cry over spilt milk. No one in this clubhouse is going to be like, man, we wish Donaldson was here. This opens up the door, Mike, for guys like Riley, Camargo, and others.
Right, but I also love the fact that Freddie gets it. You know, sick and tired of not winning a playoff series. The team hasn't won one since 2001.
That's right.
We talked about it all through. I mean, and this is still, these are really good teams. These are 90-plus win teams. And the names change. You know, you had guys like Sheffield that came in, and Chipper was in his prime. You always had the great pitching. But going back to 2001, the Braves have not won a playoff series, and that's something that Snitker's got to show what he's got to be better at. Team's going to have to be more clutch. Everybody still believes, save for a few baseball nerd writers, that this is the team to beat in the NL East. I think you agree with me, as we said yesterday. Much more competition, though, with the Phillies and the Mets and the Nats this year.
They're better. Everybody spent money. It's not like everybody chilled. Phillies went out and spent more money. Nationals went up and went out and locked up the guys that they thought were critical to making another run at the World Series. And, you know, I don't believe in the Mets, Mike, but everybody's telling me the Mets are going to be a lot better. So, okay, that's fine. The only team I don't think is going to be any better is the Marlins. But I do think that there's a chance that, you know, the Mets could be competitive. I'm not going to predict that they're going to win this division. I still think it's us and the Nats and then the Phillies, depending on how this thing goes.
But I love the fact that, you know, Freddie kind of takes ownership. He goes, you know, we're talking about the playoffs. He takes it to heart. He goes, I get it. I know that's all the fans want. He goes, I'm trying. He goes, I don't think I could have envisioned that being 20 years old when he was a rook, you know, being around Chipper and Billy Wagner, Tim Hudson. And by now, he says, he's the guy doing the talking. He goes, I couldn't envision this at all, but I'm happy it's gone like this. Very much so. It's a good feeling. You have the respect for everyone around here, being a leader for this team, you know. But now he knows this team at 29, he in his prime.
That's right.
The young guys in their prime, it's time to go win and get into the World Series, not, you know, get knocked out again.
All right, so I'm going to tell you how we make it a lot easier to the World Series is if Austin Riley lives up to his capabilities. Here's what Austin Riley said he learned last season as he went through it.
I think it's just more of, you know, learning how, you know, pitchers are going to make adjustments and I got to make adjustments to the pitchers. That's the biggest thing, is just being consistent. You know, working on my swing this offseason, it's going to be more consistent.
Now, Mike, he's not been given the job. Snit has not said, Austin Riley's our starting third baseman opening day. He has said he will get a chance to compete for the job. So he knows he's got to win the job this spring. Here's what he said in regards to that.
An opportunity to win a job, to come out here and show what I can do to help this ball team win. Like I said, all it is just creating an opportunity for me.
Okay. So, listen, I think there's a serious tone to Austin Riley because he knows what's at stake. Your opportunity has come. 2 years ago, it was, well, he's not ready. Last year, okay, we'll play him wherever we can play him to see what his bat's like. Oh, his bat got hot? Okay, maybe he can play up here. Oh, well, maybe he can't because Donaldson is killing it. Okay, well, you know what? We'll see where he fits in. Oh, we got to send him back down to the minors. He knows this is his opportunity.
And I don't like the idea of him starting down with the minors. I'd like to see him earn this job, go bananas in spring training, and earn that right to when they come north that he is on the team. Now, he's got to cut down on strikeouts. We know that, 108 strikeouts in just 274 at-bats. And is he got off that amazing tear that first month. Pitchers, as he just talked about, made the adjustments, and now he's got a counterpunch. So, you know, this is a guy who's got all the talent in the world. He has, Carl, had that kind of get to the next level, struggle, overcome. So now this is the overcome
come
part
here, yeah.
of spring training.
Well, that's what Alex Anthopoulos told us, remember? I think when he came on, saying this has been his formula, or at least the makeup of how he's dealt with each move, whether it was AA, AAA, and then now to the majors. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about our Braves. Spring training continues, guys. As we were talking yesterday about the big NASCAR race and what happened in that race, Mike, we do have an update today.
Yeah, Ryan Newman walks out of the hospital holding his two daughters by the hand, which is great news. There was a shot that came out earlier yesterday or last night where he's in a hospital gown and, okay, he's at least standing up, because the initial concern, there was an erroneous report, I think, that Orlando Sentinel had, that there was internal bleeding after the car gets flipped upside down and then smashed into by another car and then goes for a 500-yard ride. So he's able to walk out of the hospital. I presume they were worried about the concussion potential, because that was the kind of – I mean, he took – God knows how many shots and hits he took. But the Hans device, the safety of the car, the fact the driver of the is moved over to the center of the car, he's not right as close to the window as they were in previous cars with the car tomorrow. But just great news that Ryan Newman is – looks like he's A-OK, or at least, knock wood, he's going to be back to racing sooner than later.
All right. Now, speaking of that, I'd be petrified. Honestly,
you got to be able to overcome it.
For me, yeah. I'm just telling you.
You got to get back on a horse, man.
I know. And you know, it's one of these things where, and you know, if you have a tragedy or something happens where you've been in a bad car wreck, Some people don't ever drive again. Like, they don't want to get behind the wheel, and you've been in a bad car wreck. I got to tell you, after seeing that, and at some point I'm sure he's going to watch. He may have already watched it. I don't know how soon I get back in the car, Mike.
Well, Rusty Wallace's wreck at Talladega, he was able to get back in the car. And here's the thing. I believe it was after Dale Earnhardt died in Daytona that Rusty Wallace said, you know, I mean, a lot of guys out there said they were going to have a hard time. Remember that, Bo? Getting back in the car. And they did struggle with it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a Corvette that he was racing in a sports car race catch on fire out in California. And he had a hard time getting back in the car after that one. So, I mean, there are guys you got to deal with these moments just back and overcome it. We have a hard time when we go down to Central America and play soccer. Coming up next hour, about an hour or so from now, we'll do the big story. Atlanta United, we would be remiss to mention that. They did a fantastic job in some hostile environment. We'll tell you more about it coming up.
Coming up, yeah, man, no, man. We say, hey, man, if you're new to the show, try Hey Man Ale. Blonde Ale, it's delicious. 5% alcohol. You can get it at almost every package store. It's near you, and the big spots have it as well. Total Wine, Green, all those places. Check out Hey Man Ale. Bo Morgan next with Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down.
Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more.
Mike Bell, we're getting hyped because we're watching some footage right now of Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. This isn't even the weigh-in isn't until Friday.
Yeah, because ESPN and Fox have thrown their networks' collective weight behind this fight. The promotions are just bananas. So this is kind of like what the UFC does midweek to get the hype going. So this is just two guys screaming at each other. Kind of reminds you of the old days of like Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali and Dick Cavett ready to kill each other. So this is great. Heavyweight just brings the heat, man. That's why we're going to be out in Vegas. It's going to be a big fight. Can't wait, guys. And again, all the coverage of Wilder Fury 2 right here on the game.
All right, let's get to Bo Morgan. It is Yeah Man, No Man. Falcon Report is on the way. What position are we evaluating today? Stay right there. What's up, Bo?
On March 2nd, Wendy's is kind of rolling out some new breakfast food.
Oh.
And whoa.
Are they in the breakfast business? Wendy's?
I don't think so. Well, I've never had breakfast there.
I believe they have a limited menu in certain restaurants.
I tried the Taco Bell breakfast, and it just wasn't great.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm a big breakfast fast food guy, but it was meh.
See, I'm very dedicated to a couple places. I only go, if I'm eating breakfast, it's Martin's Biscuits, which is, they're select through, but they have the best biscuits. Chick-fil-A, which everyone knows how great Chick-fil-A is. And
is Martin's, is it like the martini, is everyone thinking of the same place? What, is it a green?
No, it's blue.
Okay.
And it's pretty much only breakfast, and they have like a select lunch menu. They'll serve biscuits to like 2 o'clock, and then they'll have like, if you want a hot dog or a burger, they have that too, but they're a biscuit place.
Okay.
And they close it like 2 or 3 months.
Like the Flying Biscuit.
Yeah, but this is fast food. But yeah.
Ooh, fast food you're
saying. It's fast food, yeah. I'm strictly talking fast food breakfast right now. And every once in a while, I'll get a hankering for a bacon, egg, and cheese from McDonald's just because I grew up on them.
Sure.
And I'll go there. So anyways, Wendy's introduces a new menu, and I'm a huge fan of the Baconator burger from Wendy's.
Who
delicious.
Is it?
Delicious.
It's
Who
the
is
best.
It?
And don't give me that son of Baconator crap. I want the real thing. I want the
right.
Mac
you want
Daddy
all the
Baconator.
Meat. Yeah.
Well, what if I told you could have a Baconator at breakfast?
I'd say, yes, please.
They are coming out with this thing. And
put an egg on it, right? You can put like an egg mold, if not a real egg.
Well, I like
egg.
Egg-like so I like, depending on the burger, I like egg on my burger.
I'm down with this, Squid. Tell
well,
me more.
Well, the burger patty is sausage.
I'm excited.
It's got a fried egg on top of it.
I'm in.
With 6 strips of applewood smoked bacon.
Boom!
On a bun.
Why are you doing that?
With cheese and a cheese sauce. It is heaven on earth. They come out March 2nd. And I can't wait.
I can't wait
to
either.
Get the Baconator. So
that's best news you brought to this program in 2 weeks.
I would agree with Mike on that. It's about time. But I will say this. What's the price?
Who cares? Money's no object.
You know what?
What's the price? Am I paying $8 for a Baconator breakfast sandwich?
I bet price point's got to be about $5. $5, $6?
I've not seen a price point. I would imagine it's at least $5.99 to $6.99.
Got
to
be
a sandwich?
Yeah, but it's got all the bacon.
It's a Baconator.
It's a Baconator for breakfast, man. You pay a premium for that, Carl.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, guys are
the
saying
Baconator that, burger's and by like the way, $8.
Hey, I apologize. Guys are saying that Wendy's is open for breakfast for years, you numbskulls. I mean, they took my... The one I used to go in Buckhead on Peachtree is not there anymore. So
last
I don't know
time,
where you get one.
Last time I went to Wendy's was when we did our chicken sandwich challenge.
Right.
And we did the whole Popeye's chicken sandwich. And I went and got Wendy's chicken sandwiches. But I don't think I've ever gone to Wendy's for breakfast. And that's why I asked the question.
No, and... They have been open for years. They haven't had the Baconator for years. This comes out March 2nd.
All right.
There were some stores, a couple hundred stores, that had this sandwich, and I think it was like a test. But they came out on the Daytona 500 commercials like, this is nationwide. And I was just...
Blown away?
Beyond myself.
So both of you are willing to pay...
Yes.
Anything.
No, time out. You know me. I'm an idiot. I'll spend anything on anything. You know that. I don't care.
What's the price? Like, what's the limit, Bo?
For me?
Yes, for this sandwich. If they came out and said $10, you buying it?
Well, I'm going to get it at least once.
Okay.
All right. I'm just curious. No, a couple of guys are saying that Wendy's breakfast, to be honest, is kind of meh, but this might be pumping some air into that fire, getting people fired up over it.
Well, again, tell these geniuses that they haven't had the Baconator.
I'm excited.
To a Baconator.
All right.
I mean, you got all the breakfast meats, and don't give me Canadian bacon because that's American ham right. that they just fried and gave a new name to it. But anyways, so you gonna do the Baconator?
Well, I have to. After all that fussing, how much is it? Yeah, give me two.
Gotta go swing over to my location over here on Boulevard. Pow, pow. Let's see if I can get one for myself. I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
This is I just found out we're going to have a Dunkin' Donuts in Midtown for breakfast sandwiches.
2029.
Hey, shut up, you. And now we're going to have bacon for breakfast, which is always for breakfast now, but piled high in a Wendy's. Yes, please.
I see Keith. Keith's tweeting at us. He says they've had breakfast for years.
Yeah, but it ain't great. I mean, that's why if it was, I'd be talking about it on the radio. I'm a Burger King or a McDonald's guy for breakfast for the most part.
Yeah.
No. Chick-fil-A, of course, the chicken bits. But if you want meat sauce, and Chick-fil-A's doing that now, too.
Yeah, we're not talking about a sit-down breakfast.
Right. Yeah. And
you go to J. Christopher's for that, which is always quick and easy.
And did we not? Because I'm pretty certain that we clarified, because I did, that we are guys that have a couple of fast food breakfast places we always hit up. So people that Wendy's has had breakfast, we don't care they've had breakfast. They haven't had the Baconator for breakfast, and now they dude.
Right. I tried the Taco Bell breakfast the day we went to play golf over at Druid Hills. And
I remember.
And it was not great.
I remember.
It was not great.
I remember.
You know.
And by the way, Scott, where's the invite? It's been 2 years.
By the way,
those comments I made about the Native American tribes, he ain't never bringing us back.
He hadn't called us.
We have a buddy, Scott the Hippie, who's a member of Druid Hills.
You
and
offended
he just,
him?
Well, he's. He's very in touch with Native American culture, so he did not take kindly to my comments about the tomahawk chop.
Let's just say after Mike hit a birdie, he danced around the hole.
So hold on a second.
Was it a war dance? Would that not be cultural appropriation?
That's all I'm saying.
So the tomahawk chop talk cost us two people. That's you ruined two relationships.
Yes.
So, Scott, if you're listening, I will make a donation to the Indian tribe of your choice, Native American tribe of your choice, if you can get us back on Druid Hills. Because I must say, it is quite convenient for us to play 18 holes and get to our studio in Midtown.
Where's my bell?
Oh, please, hey, Scott. Bo.
Sorry about that. We just appropriated your time.
We just need to set up some golf. Go ahead.
Can we get Wendy's on the way?
You betcha.
The Baconator?
Well, if they've got the Baconator served, when's it start serving?
March 2nd.
Done.
Sold. Ponson Boulevard. We'll be there.
Real quick, Stephon Diggs has erased everything Vikings related on his Insta page.
Falcon fans, you want me to rewind for you?
Julio?
He's gone.
No, but Julio did that just as a lark.
Julio got what he wanted.
But you know what?
That's true.
Stop.
Stephon Diggs has done stuff Julio's never done, as in pouting in the middle of a playoff game.
Yes, but here's the deal with Stephon Diggs. They don't have enough cap space to keep him.
Right.
He's going to end up somewhere else. And allegedly, remember the whole dust-up Mike during the season?
Right.
He doesn't like the offense and how they're using him.
Well, he was right about the quarterback. They did actually get something out of it, but it seems so strange that a quarterback would let a receiver talk trash about him like that and just roll with it.
Yeah. I think Cousins did. I think he's gone.
Oh, and Cousins started feeding him the ball after he did it in the playoff game, too.
Right.
Jahi.
Hey, what about him in New Orleans opposite?
Okay, why you got to go there?
They can't pay for him.
No, it'd be nice to have that other weapon opposite the guy getting all the reception. Now you really got a chance to expose some defenses.
Yeah, but after they just paid Mike Evans, they can't pay
two ones. I don't want the Saints to expose anything. You're giving the Saints Stephon Diggs?
Hold on. This is Jim Rome.
Tom Brady will go with Stephon Diggs to the Raiders.
It'll be epic.
It'll be crazy.
Now you're talking. Let them go out west.
What if the Patriots just went and got Stephon Diggs and did that? Wouldn't that be easier? And then they just take Brady for a couple more years?
Well, that's what I said. They're going to sit down with him before he makes his decision and tell him how they're going to do things. And that's a big possibility. Hey, appreciate all the love on the Wendy's breakfast and where to eat to fast food breakfast. Guys.
One guy says they've been already serving those breakfasts over in Jackson. At the truck stop.
Yeah, I said that about 600 stores nationwide had had them, but now it's nationwide.
Right on.
And I'm going to get it in Woodstock. Jahi, hit the music. Drop,
drop, drop. You can't play any Van Halen today?
I picked the music. I wanted this. I wanted to drop it like it's hot. Hey. Tell you what, Winnie's going to be dropping them Baconators like it's hot.
Well, Mike, you're going to Vegas. You'll be dropping some something.
Hey, man. Let's hope I'm not dropping too much.
Come on. Coming up, we're going to talk Falcons. We'll go through another position. Stay or go. Yesterday was epic. Will Mike be as good today?
I doubt it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.